Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May the 3rd, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe commemorates World Press Freedom Day amidst concerns from journalists and media stakeholders that the government is not doing much to promote freedom of expression and media and access to information as enshrined in the country's constitution.
Of concern is the continued licensing of broadcast media using the Broadcasting Services Act, the continued existence of criminal laws against the media, and the continued regulation of the media under IPA.
The curtain came down the Harare Festival of the Arts show in Harare today, with organizers pleased at the high turnout despite the financial challenges facing the country. Haifa is already making plans for 2016.
For the next Haifa, they can expect the same quality that they've come to expect. We are hoping that the economic environment will be better and also more friendly in terms of such artistic endeavors.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tetenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe commemorates World Press Freedom Day amidst concerns from journalists and media stakeholders that the government is not doing much to promote freedom of expression and media and access to information as enshrined in the country's constitution. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare on the issue.
Local journalists say repressive media laws must be repealed or be aligned with the country's new charter. Foster Dongozi, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Union of Journalists, or ZUJ, says it is worrying that not much is being done to protect and promote press freedom in Zimbabwe.
Of concern is the continued licensing of broadcast media using the Broadcasting Services Act, the continued existence of criminal laws against the media, and the continued regulation of the media under IPA.
Dongozi says this year's World Press Freedom Day commemoration comes at a time when the media industry is struggling with a number of organizations shutting down, while those surviving are struggling and retrenching workers. It is imperative, Dongozi says, for government to support media organizations to ensure sustainability. Former ZUJ president and Zimbabwe Media Commissioner Matthew Takawana concurs, saying it is a pity the Zimbabwe Media Fund that should be set up under the commission has not been functional due to lack of funds.
The right to information is a right that should be protected by the government. And in order to protect that right, the government must then ensure that these papers, these radio stations, don't close down, and they can only do that by subsidizing, as happens in other countries.
News organizations like the Zimbabwe Mail and Shortwave Radio Africa, among others, shut down in the last 12 months, while those surviving, like some newspapers under the Zimbabwe Newspapers Group and Alpha Media Holdings, have retrenched journalists and other workers as the operating environment gets tougher. Though 8 radio stations have been licensed, journalists are concerned that the process was done using the Broadcasting Services Act, a piece of legislation they say is defective and has to be repealed. Takaona says it is worrying that all licensed entities seem connected to President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party.
You will then have in a country multitudes of radio stations, but multitudes of radio stations that has no diversity, that does not allow access from other people, that does not tolerate differences. So there is need, therefore, for government to sit down and revise the licensing system so that whoever is on the licensing board are people of integrity who look at the merit of the applications rather than the source of the application.
Media Center Director Ernest Mudzengi says there isn't really much to celebrate on World Press Freedom Day as journalists continue to be harassed in Zimbabwe. He says it is worrying that there is some discord in the government over repealing the country's feared criminal defamation Defamation Law.
I take note that what we have only had are improvements on paper and by word of mouth in reference to the new constitution. On paper, guarantees media freedom, the right of access to information, so on and so forth. But in actual practice, we don't have that. People are disappearing for expressing themselves. Journalists are being arrested. They continue to be arrested under criminal defamation laws.
Although Information Minister Jonathan Moyo says the criminal defamation law must go, his boss, Justice Minister and Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa, wants it to remain on the country's statute books. The Media Institute of Southern Africa chapter, three journalists and the state-owned Herald newspaper are challenging the constitutionality of the piece of legislation in court. Maswingo resident Nomen Ngwaru says repressive media legislation must be repealed to create an environment that is conducive for press and media freedom.
At least the first step would be to deal with the legislation that has been put, which is restricting media freedoms in Zimbabwe. Once that is solved, then we can go on to the implementation of press freedom. At least if people could be allowed that freedom to speak and to report and not have repercussions after they've published their stories.
Nancy Makona, an avid reader of newspapers, also thinks there's not much freedom of the press and media in Zimbabwe.
No, there is no freedom in Zimbabwe. There's no press freedom. There's no need for us to celebrate the day because basically here in Zimbabwe, we don't have freedom, especially in the media sector.
World Press Freedom Day is commemorated worldwide on May the 3rd. This year's event will be held under the theme Let Journalism Thrive Towards Better Reporting, Gender Equality, and Media Safety in the Digital Age. The theme casts a spotlight on challenges that are emerging for free and independent journalism and quality reporting in the context of the digital age and includes issues of concentration of ownership, self-regulation, investigative journalism, and the safety of journalism. Reporting for Studio 7 from Maswingo, this is Ivan Chifera.
The curtain came down at the Harare International Festival of Arts show in Harare today, with organizers pleased at the high turnout despite the financial challenges facing the country. Salif Keita and Hope Masike closed the show with a collaboration that brought the house down. Tafadzwa Simba of Haifa tells us more on the issue.
It was amazing. It's a miracle that it actually happened, given the economic circumstances and everything that is happening. Obviously, it's been difficult, but we want to thank the corporate community, all the development partners we work with, and also the audiences who have come out and supported their festival, because this is a Zimbabwean festival, and we're so grateful that it has actually happened.
How many international artists did you end up having for the whole show, and what would you say was your most sold-out show?
The most popular shows will always be the opening and the closing, but that's not to say that there are no other great main stage shows. And we've had offerings from all over the country. And I think that the numbers obviously were absolutely encouraging, given that the public doesn't have as much disposable income as in the past. But yeah, we've had full houses in various shows, and some were sold out even on the first day of opening box office. So it's been absolutely amazing across the board.
Do you have a particular figure of how many international artists you actually had?
We're still collating, but on average, every year we have at least 200 that come from outside the country, and at least 1,000 from within the country. So on average, in total, we have about 1,200, 1,300, and we're still collating the figures and verifying them, but we expect the same. We've had people coming from countries, at least 2 dozen countries.
Tell us a little bit about some of the workshops that were held during Haifa.
Yeah, the workshops are extremely popular. We have two types of workshops. Firstly, those that are targeted at professional artists, so that there is skills exchange amongst them between artists. And then we also have workshops for audience members, so that they are able to interact closely with artists. And one important feature of some of our workshops are those that are part of our outreach program, where artists go out into orphanages, high-density areas, low-income areas as well. So artists have had the opportunity to interact with a wide range of people. Firstly, artists, professional artists, Then you have members of the public who just want to interact with the artists, and then also orphans and vulnerable children.
Moving forward to next year, what can the public expect?
For the next cycle, they can expect the same quality that they've come to expect. We are hoping that the economic environment will be better and also more friendly in terms of such artistic endeavors. But one thing that they should expect is whatever we put on, they can expect the same high quality of visiting and Zimbabwean art being displayed at Haifa.
That was Tafadzwa Simba of Haifa speaking to us in Harare. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Ricky Marima, who is the founder of Curate Zim, something that's a buzz on Twitter for those who might not know. Ricky, thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
My pleasure, Tatenda.
Tell us how Curate Zim started.
Well, Curate Zim just started from an idea. I've been managing the Curate Zim account for some time before that, and thought creating an account for Zimbabwe would be the next logical step. So every week we have a different Zimbabwean who hosts the account, and they talk about whatever topics they would like to engage other people on and also tell us a bit about themselves. And week by week, we've been able to build up more and more interesting profile of what Zimbabweans are talking about online, particularly on Twitter. But we also do have an Instagram account.
Social media itself, in particular, Facebook, Twitter, it's really bridging the gap between people everywhere, no matter what country you are. How has that been for you, looking at the people that follow you, people that you follow?
You're absolutely right about that. And just to, sorry, not sound like I'm trying to pimp my own product, but with the Curate account, people have created other accounts in other African countries. And this has led to a lot of engagement amongst people who would otherwise have not had an inlet into finding out about what's happening in Tanzania, for example, or Malawi, or Botswana, or Ghana, even for that matter. And also, I forget, Zambia. And you find that a lot of people are now engaging across these various accounts to get, for example, someone in Zimbabwe engaging with somebody in Kenya to get their point of view about something happening in Zimbabwe.
And spawning out of this is the idea of social media activism, where day to day you see trends that people are pushing. One of those included the No to Xenophobia, a hashtag which was really big. Can you talk about the social media activism that's going on?
Social media activism gets a bad rap, particularly when you look at Twitter, where there'll always be the retort that it's only just Twitter, or okay, you're going to tweet it and then what? But I think the last few weeks, particularly looking at South Africa, has shown that it's not just about social media. That yes, people may use social media to amplify things that are already accessible through other, shall we say, traditional media. But that amplification plays a huge role in getting a lot more people to talk about what's going on, to become aware about what's going on.
What is the drawback with the use of social media? In turn, what some might call citizen journalism.
Being somebody who's, I guess, biased towards social media, I'll speak to it from that point of view. The one danger of social media is misinformation. When the xenophobic attacks were at their peak, there was a lot of misinformation going around. I made it a point to go out there and look for people who were sending out misinformation from traditional media, from people just venting their frustrations, people using pictures of violent events from the past and placing them in current affairs and claiming that these things had happened recently. It was going on all over the place. And for me, that's the real danger, that it then negates any good that can come from social media because of people using the immediacy of it to push out information which may not necessarily be true, and then not taking the time to retract it once it's out and it's proven to not be correct.
Do you work to bring in the voice of those who are not savvy to the social media but also do want to participate in this dialogue?
Well, we're still in our infancy and been around for 10 months. What I have been able to do, though, is experiment with taking Curate Zim out to the people. We've hosted talks in Harare and also in Bulawayo to just cut out from them, what is it that you feel may be getting neglected in the conversations that are happening around Zimbabwe? And got some very good feedback from that. And hopefully in the third quarter of the year, this is something that we'll be able to start doing more regularly and take those conversations around the country, maybe get involved with the universities and get a much better sense of what people are talking about. And from there, be able to broaden the appeal and also the reach of Curate.zim.
And of course, in the spirit of social media, let's get to your Twitter, your Facebook account for any of those people listening who would be very interested in following you.
Well, before we get to that agenda, you have to commit to curating one of these.
Oh, my goodness. I will give a commitment.
All right, then. My Twitter handle is at Ricky E. Marima. That's RickyEMarima.
Ricky, I do want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
No, it's been the pleasure's all mine.
That was Ricky Marima, founder of Curate Zimbabwe. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Thanks so very much for joining me, and join me next week.
This is Studio 74 Zimbabwe coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. And to close off our show, here is some music from Hope Masike, who had a collaboration with Salif Keita in the closing show of the Haifa 2015. We feature her singing Chaminukwa Povompovo.
Chaminukwa Povompovo, Chaminukwa. Chaminukwa Povompovo, Chaminukwa. Chaminukwa Povompovo, Chaminukwa. Chaminukwa Povompovo, Chaminukwa.
That was the music of Hope Masike, one of the artists that was featured in this year's Haifa 2015. She had a collaboration with Malian singer Salif Keita in the closing ceremony. Now to recap on today's top stories, Zimbabwe commemorates World Press Freedom Day amid concerns from journalists and media stakeholders that the government is not doing much to promote freedom of expression and media and access to information as enshrined in the country's constitution. And the curtain came down the Harare Festival of the Arts show in Harare today, with organizers pleased at the high turnout despite the financial challenges facing the country. Haifa is already making plans for 2016. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May the 3rd, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.